www.thebeatsofmetal.com.
And again, Kathy Dawes, along with Nate Burkhead, Kansas State Assistant Professor of Political Science, and thought we'd talk more about the polarization that we continue to feel. I know after the election, I know a lot of us probably were hoping that eventually we could relax a little bit and go on with our lives. I'm not really seeing that, Nate.
Yeah, I know. I think that, yeah, unlike what we were probably hoping for, like it seems like the wound just kind of continues to just kind of get re-aggravated, right? So it's that hard place that never sort of heals on your hand, and it just kind of keeps on getting worse and worse. We were talking about how as a country, the Democrats and Republicans, as citizens, are more extreme now than they were even 10 years ago, but especially 30 or 40 years ago. 30 or 40 years ago, if you told me that you're a Republican, I wouldn't know if you're a liberal Republican or conservative Republican, right? Right now, if you tell me that you're a Republican, then I've got a pretty good bet that you're conservative, right? And the same goes for Democrats, right? Like back in the 60s and 70s, Democrats could be liberal or conservative. Now they're just liberal. And so people are ideologically divided. But what's more than that is that there's a really strong emotional component to that. There's a real emotionality about people's partisanship and their ideology. And so we're finding now that we're not just sort of separated by issues. We're also separated by emotion and sort of negative antipathy, right? This view that the other is bad. We were sort of talking during the break that there's about 90% of partisans. So Democrats think that 90% of Democrats think that Republicans are not just bad, but really bad for the country. About 90% of Republicans think that Democrats are not just bad, but really bad for the country. And what that means is that's just this emotional distrust that we find. Not just like I disagree with you, right? I'm a Broncos fan. You may be a Chiefs fan, right? You have bad taste. Now, granted, my team sucks, but we can still hang out, right? But like if we start dividing over partisan issues, then we just stop going to cookouts together, right? I think that their views are bad. And so when that happens, that's dividing us more than really it should be, than it's appropriate. The Republican senator in Nebraska, Ben Sass, says that on Twitter that he says that people just need to calm down a little bit and just think about politics a little bit less. And I kind of agree with – I'm a political science professor, but I still think that this is probably the right idea, is that we need to be a little bit less tribal and a little bit more kind of just kind of willing to find the areas where we have overlap and focus on those instead.
It's still – I mean, it's impacted families, mm-hmm. friendships from before. I mean, it's just amazing how much it has affected, I think, our country as a whole. And, any predictions? What's it going to take to get people to just kind of take a breath and relax a little bit and –
Yeah, I mean,
look at other things maybe for a while. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, you hate to put your head in the sand. You don't want to ignore what's going on, obviously.
Yeah, I think a healthy distance though is probably warranted. I think that we kind of have the combination of the media climate and then also just Twitter and Facebook allow us to just be saturated by this stuff all the time. Where the bottom line is that we don't need to know at the very minute that something's happening what's going on, right? We can just sort of just inform ourselves in the morning and then go about our day. And I think that one thing that we could just do is just have a little healthy distance from the news and just, I know what kind of show I'm on, but I think that we could just have a bit of a healthy distance from the news. And then what that does.
Social media, maybe?
And social media. Oh my God. Everybody should just use Facebook for sharing pictures of your kids, man. but I think that once we can kind of do that, then we can kind of that can kind of de-escalate things a little bit. But I think that things are fundamentally, though, that's stuff around the margins. The big fundamental aspects is that right now the Democrats are pretty cohesively liberal. The Republicans are pretty cohesively conservative. And until something dramatic happens that kind of realigns where the parties are, where we get more variance in the party's coalitions, it's going to be kind of more like this, at least from the elite level. So something like immigration, for example, has the capacity to do that because business owners like immigration and sort of cosmopolitan Democrats like immigration. Union member kind of Democrats don't like immigration. And then sort of more nationalistic sort of Republicans don't like immigration very much. And so that's one of those things where the Republican Party is divided, the Democratic Party is divided, and maybe if immigration continues to be a thing that we're talking about a lot, we might find that these kind of coalitions kind of rearrange themselves. And when that happens, then we kind of go back from being Democrats on one side and Republicans on the other.
So any predictions? Do you think we can do that?
I've learned to kind of keep my political betting money in my pocket. But what I will say is that I think that, for now, this is the normal for now. And so we just kind of de-escalate things a little bit.
Well, if I could get a question
sure,
in,
Dave.
Nate. There's obviously a lot going on now with a lot of other topics. But I've always contended that the separating issue is the right to life, right to choose between Democrats and Republicans. And even more so, and that I think has kind of divided that split even more so.
Mm-hmm.
You have any comments on that?
I think that the thing that initially divided the parties was actually civil rights. The Democrats endorsed civil rights in the 1960s, mm-hmm. and then that was kind of what began to trigger things. Because if you think back in the 1940s, the South was a Democratic stronghold, right? That was, and it's like people like Strom Thurmond and things like that. Once the Democrats endorsed civil rights, then that sort of started to trigger a sort of a realignment. But then, as you say, then abortion came on in the 1970s, along with kind of like Nixonian, like Vietnam kind of cultural protesters as well, and then. So we saw sort of this split kind of emerge because of civil rights, and then abortion just drove the wedge between the parties there. But I think that you're right is that like something like abortion is something that people have very stable feelings on and emotional feelings on, right? On both mm-hmm. sides, that there's just it's a really really strong sort of strong aspect, and so I think that that is. I think that that will be something that we just are going to be divided on as a country. I think that there's actually there's a little bit more overlap than we would probably traditionally expect actually on abortion, that there are people who feel strongly about right to choose or right to life. But then there is actually quite a bit of overlap in terms of just sort of how willing people are to allow some restrictions or to permit some kind of regulations. I think that that just one issue is probably is not going to be enough. I think we kind of need more.
Might have time for a quick phone call. Go ahead, yeah. Please. Only a few minutes left. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, it was on that civil rights bill. Wasn't it the Republicans that pushed that over the top?
Yeah, yeah, and the civil rights bill in the 1960s, it was a combination of Democratic support from like sort of some liberal Democratic support, but then also liberal Republican support as well. Then the Democrats sort of passed it over some conservative Southern Democrat opposition, and so it was not a strongly partisan issue. But what wound up happening in the aftermath was that some of those Republicans who put it over the top then kind of joined on the Democratic side. Some of the Democrats who opposed the civil rights bill then went on the Republican side, sort of in the aftermath.
Of course. Speaking of Republicans and Democrats, the parties have changed significantly years past. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, yeah, the Democrats were the party of the South in the Civil War, but the Democrats now are largely associated with the Northern, with some of the Northern cities, and so yeah, the parties are moving targets, and we should not sort of expect that the parties that we see today are the same parties that we saw 20, 30 years ago, and certainly not the ones that we saw 100 years ago. They exist to win votes. They don't exist to maintain ideological. Consistency.
And even from when I was a little girl, I've seen big changes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm 33, and I've seen pretty tremendous changes. So, yeah.
Well, we have maybe half a minute left. If there's anything else you kind of want to highlight, never seems like there's enough time, Nate.
No, not enough time. I say if you like what your members of Congress are doing, then call them up and actually tell them they're doing a good job and maybe that you'll support them sort of anyway, right? The staffers take a lot of abuse, and so just call a staffer up and let them know that, you know, that they're doing a good job.
I've heard if you call, it's better than if you email, too.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to pay more attention.
Yep.
Okay. Again, we've had Nate Burkhead with us today. Again, Kansas State Assistant Professor of Political Science. You've been listening to In Focus.
Tomorrow on K-Man's In Focus, Riley County USD 378 and 384 will both have representatives here. And we'll also visit with some folks on a timely matter. Fort Riley, suicides of our soldiers. CBS News and Clark Howard are on the way next on K-Man.